All right, rolling along here on a Wednesday, July 2nd. Yesterday was Canada Day, and the Blue Jays celebrated by pounding my Yankees. Obviously, the 4th of July coming up on Friday. We'll be off here on WGR Sports Radio 550, but not until then. We got today, we got tomorrow. I was just reading an article, and I mentioned to Joe Calley, who's producing today. I just happened to come across it. Apparently, Chuck E. Cheese is opening adult arcades. Like, all right, this sounds pretty cool. Now, there's adult arcades everywhere, but, you know, if you grew up with that in that time period, you're like, ooh, I remember playing and getting all the tickets. That it goes back to when I was a kid, actually, Chuck E. Cheese. But it did get me to wonder, Joe, what was your go-to arcade game? What's always been your go-to arcade game when you run into an arcade? You say, if they got that, I'm playing it.
I'm a big Stacker guy.
I have no idea what Stacker is.
So it's like the cubes that move across back and forth, and you have to, like, line them up and stack the next row on top. And if you miss it, they, like, drop down, and you only have two blocks to work with then. And it, like, lessens the higher you get up there to make it harder, and it moves faster. You know what I'm talking about now?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen games like this on the phone. People play games like this all the time. Different kinds of games, right? Like this. And then you have, like, it kind of sounds a little bit like Tetris in a way where you're not fitting the shapes, but you have to make sure that you get everything done quick enough for the row, I guess, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
So it sounds like one of those types of games. Paul Hamilton joins me right now on the Wester Hotline. He's at Sabres Development Camp. What about you, Paul? What was your go-to arcade game as a kid when you went into an arcade?
I played Donkey Kong a lot.
Ooh, yeah.
I can't think of the name of the one that I played probably a little bit more. The one with the spaceships that kind of keep coming
Asteroids.
Down. Asteroids. Thank you. Those were the two that basically.
Oh, the one coming down. What was that? Is that Asteroids? What's that one?
Was it called Asteroids?
Is that Galaga? That's Galaga.
Yes, that's what it was called.
Me
that's
too. Correct. I love Galaga. We're on the same page here. You have that. You have Asteroids. You have Centipede. Those are, you know, Pac-Man.
Yeah, I
those
play
are
Centipede the, sometimes.
See, now we're showing our age here, Paul, right? I mean, these are the ones, like, these are the classic arcade games when you went in as a kid and you played. And then if you got high enough score, we put our initials. You couldn't put P-Ham. You couldn't do that. What did you put for your just regular initials?
Just PSH.
If you were okay, I got it. Because I would put Sal. I wouldn't put my initials, it'd be SAC. I'm not putting SAC. I'm putting Sal, right? I mean, it makes more sense if I do that. So that's why I do that. All right, enough on that. I just opened the door up completely to get roasted here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Paul Hamilton is down at Sabres Development Camp. It continues today. We will hear from General Manager Kevin Adams. Paul will. He'll be in a scrum with him a little bit later this hour. We're hoping to turn that sound around for you so you can all hear what Kevin Adams has to say. Paul, what are the questions? You know, what are the topics? What's everybody going to be wondering from Kevin Adams? I would assume Bo Byram is top of mind, like when I said to you last week that J.J. Paterka would be top of mind. But what do we need to get to here with Kevin Adams with the media?
Yeah, Bo Byram definitely wears that stand. What is he looking at with that? You know, talk about, we'll talk about the guys, you know, like guys like Lyon, and where are you at with Alex Tuch? As far as, because he can be re-signed now, what are the options? Talk about the market itself. There really wasn't a market all that great of a market. This is a year where players wound up re-signing right before, Brock Besser, nobody thought he was going to re-sign with the Vancouver Canucks, and before free agency started, he did. The Florida Panthers signed all three of their guys. I thought at least one of those guys would hit the free agent market. None of them did. So it's really been it was a very different July 1st where most of the free agents that you might want to consider were off the market by the time it had. Now, Nikolai Ehlers is still a guy that's there. It came out, Elliot Friedman had said that he probably wouldn't make a decision until today at the earliest. But, that certainly would be a very good pickup for the Buffalo Sabres. But there were reports last year when the Sabres were trying to trade for him and the Jets wound up not trading him at all, that part of the problem was, he would not sign a long-term deal if he came here. That also, I read, that was a problem with Dobson, that wound up in Montreal this year. That, when Paterka was still around, it's like, well, he's not going to sign a long-term deal here, so there's not much point in trading for him. So But that's the thing that really struck me more than probably any other year that I can remember. Basically, the free agents were off the market before the market opened, except for very few, or the middling free agents, but the top ones that everybody was talking about.
Paul Hamilton here on the Wester Hotline. His reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Well, Paul, I take a different approach to this particular topic, which is, well, if a guy's not going to sign here long term, I do understand you don't want to give up a valuable asset if you're just going to have a rental and you're not really fighting for a Stanley Cup. I understand that. I want to call him a rental in that situation. However, I also have the thought of, but if you're for the Buffalo Sabres, I think you have to start trying to get people here, get them in the building, and doing what you can to convince them to stay, because that's how things can start changing. Am I wrong to think that way?
Well, the problem is you're still having people that are asking to leave. J.J. Paterka wasn't convinced after playing here for 3 years. Bo Byram, for different reasons, doesn't seem convinced. I don't know if Alex Tuch is convinced. Kevin Adams said that Tuch wants to be here and Tuch knows how much he's valued. So those negotiations, I'm sure, have started or are about to start. So, but, that's the gold standard right there. He was so, so excited when he was traded here from the Vegas Golden Knights to come to a team that was his team growing up, living in Syracuse, and was here all the time watching games. And, he couldn't have been more excited to be a Buffalo Sabre. And now we don't know. I mean, has the excitement worn off? Has it not? Is he very much interested in signing long term, or does he want to wait and see what's happening? He can do that if he wants. He can play out the season and, wait and see, because he's under contract this season. So, and take a look at it next year. But if you do that, you don't trade him at the trade deadline, now you've got an asset that might walk for nothing. So that's the thing right there, what you're talking about. Try to convince him. If you can't convince Alex Tuch, who are you going to convince? I mean, with the way things are set up right now.
Tell us a little bit about Justin Danforth and where he fits in, Paul.
He's a smaller player, but he's fast. He's a pain in the neck. He gets in on the forecheck. He's always in your face. He's a very good forechecker and, grades out pretty well for you. Not the guy that is going to be, a 20-goal scorer for you. I mean, it's just another guy that, will be out there with Krebs or Doan or Malenstein or that group. But certainly a guy that I think fans will like, just because, the way he plays and the tenacity he plays with.
Sabres, a year ago this week, traded for Ryan McLeod. So anything can happen during this week, as we know. We're awaiting the Bo Byram situation, how that resolved itself. But speaking of McLeod, they have signed him to a 4-year contract, annual average value of $5 million. How does that hit you, that particular contract for Ryan McLeod? Pretty fair for both sides, or do you like it one way or the other?
I wondered how that was going to go, just because he had a career year, but it's only been 1 year. So how do you handle that in a contract negotiation? I mean, his high in goals was 12, and then he scores 20. And, what does that mean when you're trying to talk a contract for him? And I personally believe that he can do it again. I think he can be a 20-goal scorer on a consistent basis. I liked what I saw from him last year. And for him, it's not just the points that he might accumulate. It's the speed that he brings to the lineup more than anybody else. I mean, there are many that feel he's the second fastest guy in the NHL behind McDavid. And, he brings that speed. He brings the two-way game, where you can put him out against any line and he can do well. He can kill penalties for you. He can, if you need him, jump up in the top six if somebody's injured for a few games if he has to. So, I think that's a good contract. And I suppose it could blow up in their face. I suppose it could, last year could have been an anomaly. If held my feet to the fire and said, well, do you think he can continue? I think he can. I think he can be a consistent 20-goal scorer in this league and be a good two-way player. So, no, I think that was a fair contract.
I know the Sabres want to be harder to play against. That's kind of some of the moves they've aim to make here. I also think they've kind of gotten faster here over the last, you know, I guess, you know, if you want to even go back to Norris, you know, that trade, what they did, obviously McLeod before that last year, but even in the offseason here, feels like they've gotten a little bit more speed, a little bit faster, and all the moves that they've made overall. It seems like that's something they wanted to gear towards.
Yeah, and starting with Clifton, you know, I've talked about this many times, that Lindy Ruff is going to have more of a say in roster construction, and almost everything I see has Lindy Ruff written on it. You saw how upset Lindy Ruff got last year with the penalty situation, and the Sabres just couldn't stop. Well, who were some of the main violators? Connor Clifton, Sam Lafferty, not here anymore. You know, and you know, the turnovers leading to goals, leading to your team being 29th in the league in goals against, and just pretty much pretty bad defensively. Well, again, guys, some of the guys that lost ice time maybe were put in the press box a couple of times for those types of plays. They aren't here anymore. And, you know, and some of the signings I see kind of has Lindy Ruff written all over it. To have a guy, Kesselring, I think is a guy that Lindy Ruff will definitely like on his defense, and, you know, with what he wants to try to build here. So that, you know, even Danforth, somebody we talked about, I think is somebody they look at as an upgrade over Lafferty, and they were able to trade Lafferty. You know, Lafferty never was what he was the year before when he played for the Vancouver Canucks. Now, he also played some center with the Vancouver Canucks and didn't play a lot of center with the Buffalo Sabres. But, you know, it's so a lot of what's going on, and even, you know, with the qualifying offers, Bernard Docker, I keep mm-hmm. saying if Lindy Ruff wanted him on the team, he would have been on the team. You know, they would have qualified him, and he would have been on the team. But you know who signed a contract is Johnson. And Ryan Johnson is a guy who turned into a good shutdown defenseman in Rochester last year that they would put out in those situations. And, you know, then now I ask myself, does Lindy Ruff, would he rather have Ryan Johnson in that spot instead of Bernard Docker? And, you know, so those types of things. I think, you know, you look to Lindy Ruff's and what he wants on his roster and what he wants his roster to look like.
Yeah, Ryan Johnson's always been an interesting guy to me because I feel like he should maybe be in the NHL by now. He hasn't. Is that just too impatient on my part, or is this kind of where does the do you think the organization stands with him, and what have you seen from him when he's played?
Well, he's older because he spent 4 years at Minnesota. You know, most college guys, especially drafted in the first round, don't usually go for the whole 4 years. So that makes him older, and you know, he accounted for himself okay when he was here. In Buffalo, but then the first time he was up, he was really good, and then he started slipping, and I think a lot of that was going from a college season to a pro season. That messes up a lot of players, and I think when we got past the 40-45 game range, he started losing it a little bit, but last year, you know, it seems like he really grew into his own down in Rochester and might be ready for the assignment to be back into the National Hockey League.
Yeah, he'll be 24 at the end of this month. So you're right, older for a player in his like kind of pro situation, not an older player necessarily by age, might be time for him to kind of take a role in Buffalo, and we'll see what happens. Speaking of guys in Rochester and taking a role in Buffalo, Devin Levi's situation is interesting because they do sign Alex Lyon. Look, if Devin Levi were to beat out, let's say, quote-unquote, air quotes, beat out Alex Lyon for a spot in Buffalo, does that even guarantee him to be in Buffalo? Because they may still feel, Paul, you know what? We still got to have this kid play. Yeah, he might have been better than him. He might have beat him out. But unless he really wows our socks off and we know that we can trust him to play 25, 30 games, we're going to have to put him in Rochester because that's the only way he's going to really develop. Would that be a fair way to assess it?
Yeah, I think so. And they have to develop players properly. And Johnson has gotten the chance to go down there. Levi has gotten the chance now to go down there and play for a season and a half, and it looks like he might get more. You know, just they have to be able to go down and like Kulik did. I think Kulik was developed properly, well over 100 games in the American Hockey League. I like Oslin here. I thought he played pretty well, and I think he should start in Rochester You know, he got hurt, so you might say he only had a half a season in Rochester. Hellenius really came on as the season went on in Rochester, but I still think, you know, there's more to come as far as development goes down there. And, you know, the two Russian defensemen, you know, one's been there a couple of years, one year. And so I think maybe they've learned the lessons of Dylan Cousins never played in the American Hockey League. Samuelson hardly played in the American Hockey League. You know, just a lot of guys who they rushed up here way too quickly, and it didn't work out for them.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. Paul, obviously the Bo Byram situation, top of mind. One of the interesting parts of this is a team could offer sheet, right? But the Sabres, as we've said many times, shouldn't be interested in a bunch of draft picks. At that point, would you think maybe the team would just match the offer sheet and say, look, he's a good player, and we'll just have him, and then when the time comes, maybe we can trade him? Or do you think they would be interested in saying, you know what, let's just take the picks, and maybe we can package those for something later on?
No, they have the room for an offer sheet, you know, definitely. I mean, if that's what comes their way. So, yeah, I think they can handle it that way. Or if they really, you know, want to, you know, depending on what that offer sheet winds up, if they really want to, you know, get into, you know, well, we can get a first and a third. Or if the contract's higher, we can get a first, second, and third. And then you can trade those picks if you want to get other assets. So there's a number of ways they could go with that. I probably would match it. And then at least teams that trade for Byram would know exactly what the contract is going to be and, you know, move on from there. So it's just, you know, we'll find out from, you know, how much Kevin Adams wants to share when we talk to him in just a little bit.
All right, and Kevin Adams speaking to the media in just a little while. Paul, just update us a little bit and everybody out there about what's going on at Harbor Center Development Camp today. Tomorrow's the scrimmage, and what they can expect if they go down there.
Yeah, it's just practice what you'll see today. Tomorrow is the 3-on-3 tournament, which usually a lot of fun, and you get to see a lot of like freelance hockey when it's only 3-on-3, and the players kind of take it seriously. They want to win the tournament. They get a trophy, and they get to take the picture at center ice and have fun with it, and they do. So it does get competitive, too. You know, they want to win the tournament also. And I remember the year they had, you know, the two goaltenders. Portillo was here going up against Levi, and, you know, they made it to the finals, and Portillo actually wound up winning that particular one. If you recall, that was he didn't have his equipment. His equipment didn't make it from home, so he was using borrowed equipment, I think stuff that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen had worn before, and still, you know, won the tournament. So it's a fun time for that 3-on-3 on Thursday.
All right, Paul, we'll let you go. I know you got to get ready for Kevin Adams coming up here, and we'll hear from him in a little while. If anything really substantive comes out of that, we'll make sure we get you on here to talk about it. Thanks a lot, buddy.
No problem. Take care, and you guys will have that about a minute after it's over.
You got it. We'll turn it right around for everybody in the meantime. Thanks a lot. That's Paul Hamilton. We do have Daryl Reuter scheduled for us from The Fan in Cleveland at 11 a.m. Paul is going to be in the scrum with Kevin Adams, so we'll figure out where we want to kind of play all that for you, but we'll keep you updated on what was said, but we'll play the whole audio for you during the show at some point. It might be after Daryl Reuter at 11 a.m. Want to get with Daryl on what happened in Cleveland yesterday with their governor, the governor of Ohio, signing a bill that allows $600 million of public funding for a brand new Cleveland Browns stadium. So it is happening in Cleveland, apparently, but we'll get the full details from Daryl coming up in Cleveland, and what that means. And it looks, by the way, that it looks beautiful, but it also looks like not a football stadium. So we'll talk with Daryl about that. It looks like a convention center they put a field in, is what it looks like in Cleveland. I'm not saying it looks bad. It looks beautiful, but it doesn't look like a traditional type of football stadium. Then again, I guess, you know, Minnesota didn't either, and that turned out to be absolutely fabulous, right? You go down in Orchard Park, that thing, you can tell that's a stadium. That's a football stadium going in right there. But not the case in Cleveland. $600 million in public funding they're going to have for their brand new stadium. He's on top of that. Plus, what's going on with the Browns and their quarterback situation and more in Cleveland. Daryl Reuter at 11 a.m. Kevin Adams meeting with the media coming up here shortly. Paul Hamilton is down at Harbor Center. It is development camp. I love going down to development camp. Haven't been down this year. Thinking of tomorrow. Thinking of going down there tomorrow. Maybe I'll do the show from down there tomorrow, Joe. Maybe I'll just go down there tomorrow, do the show, and we'll talk We'll see. And then they have the 3-on-3 scrimmage going on.
Yeah, you know? You got to love development camp. It's always nice to be sitting by the arena watching it, you know, free admission.
Yeah, and it's the time of year. Kids are off. Every year, I've taken Max down there. And what's really cool, I got to tell you, I've taken him down there each of the last, like, probably 3-4 years, I guess. And afterwards, the players, for the most part, they're really good about coming out and signing for the kids and all that, you know? So he actually has a jersey that we started a few years ago where we had some guys sign, and that was actually, that was Owen Power's year. Owen Power and Jack Quinn were there. And it was like, wow, you got on this jersey. And then the next year, oh, just add on. So now he's got a jersey. It's actually one of those Heritage Classic. You know the Heritage Classic the Sabres played in against Toronto several years ago? Remember that?
Yes, yeah.
It's that jersey, and now it's kind of filled on the back with just autographs from prospects, which is pretty cool, actually. You know what I mean? So you can't wear the jersey now because it's got all the autographs on it. But that's what it is, so it's pretty cool. So they've been very good about doing that. Yeah, we had a lot of moves going on in the NHL yesterday that involved the Sabres once again, and here we are. And I'm sitting here reading on social, and you know, people around that cover the team, talk about the team, content creators, fans. It just kind of feels like a deja vu, right? Not that we expected anything major necessarily this offseason, like to sign this big player. There are pipe dreams all the time for people. Mitch Marner was one of them. I mean, yeah, even I got caught up in, ooh, could they get Mitch Marner? Could you convince him to come to Buffalo? But in the back of my head, I'm like, yeah, it's not happening. And it didn't happen, obviously. He goes to Vegas. That's a sign-and-trade. Signs an 8-year, $96 million deal with the Vegas Knights, right? Then you have the Nikolaj Ehlers situation, which is still out there. Could the Sabres take a whole bunch of money and say, come to Buffalo to play? And maybe, but then I read one of the, who was it? Maybe Elliot Friedman. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. Somebody said he might want to play in a warmer climate. You know, not meaning like not Buffalo, just meaning like his next stop, somewhere warmer, somewhere that he wants to, you know, contender. Of course, right? Everybody does. Warmer and contender. I guess that would be on a lot of these guys' lists. I'm not really sure. But, you know, money can really kind of change your thoughts on a lot of things. But is that something that you think the Sabres could be in? And then you have the Bo Byram situation. That's the one, it's kind of the one card, the one piece that you hold up and say, you know what? Like, that's maybe our ticket here to do something a little bit more substantive. There you go. Maybe that's the one piece that you might be able to do that with. And I'm not sure. You know, I think that you could probably get a pretty nice, you know, deal for Bo Byram for teams that are looking for a player like him. He is not a bad hockey player, right? I think at this point, the question for the Sabres is, you know, can they get somebody that can fit A in their top six? Maybe. And if not, what does that look like going forward? Do you hold out? Because you can't, I don't think you want to trade him for something that's completely undervalued for a player that can still help you. A player that when he was with Dahlin last year, he was pretty good, actually. And I know he doesn't play on the power play. That's Dahlin in power. But this is not a bad hockey player. This is a good hockey player. It's someone that I think lots of teams in the NHL would like. But you also don't want to undersell him. I think it's a tough situation dealing with that where you want to make the deal, get something to help you, but are you really getting something to help you? And then you have the offer sheet situation, which is, okay, if a team says, well, you know what, we're not going to trade you anything, but we're just going to offer sheet them anyway. Now the Sabres would have a choice. Do they match the offer sheet and pay him whatever that money's going to be? Or, and say, like, you know what, it's a bit of an overpay, but he's a pretty good player and he can help us. Or, and they have the money, as Paul said, or do they say, you know what, you can have him and we'll take the picks. I'm not interested in picks. I'm just not. However, when you're talking really high draft picks and first round picks and future firsts and a first and a third or whatever the compensation is on what the based on the offer sheet, maybe then you take those picks or one of those picks and you try to spin it for another trade for something else. But when do you do that? Do you do it now? During this offseason? Is that even possible? Everything's kind of used up now. Like, these are, yes, trades still happen. The Ryan McLeod trade happened, as I said, last year. I think on July 5th last year, if I remember right. Like, it was just almost a year ago now. But there's not a lot out there still to do. So I think you're kind of caught in a tough situation and already in an already bigger picture tough situation if you're Kevin Adams here and the Buffalo Sabres. Jeremy and Joe were talking this morning. You know, what if you sign Bo Byram, re-sign him, or you trade for somebody that and you sign that person's got a deal that would be what Bo Byram's going to command, kind of similar, you're actually getting pretty close to the cap. Like, for a team that doesn't spend to the cap, hasn't spent to the cap, like, they're getting closer and closer, and one deal like that is going to get them there. And you nobody can then say they don't spend to the cap, or you could say it, but it's going to be really a lot closer, and they'll be kind of in line with a lot of other teams. But how good is the team? Like, how good is the roster at that point? And that becomes the question as well. A lot on the table today. Paul Hamilton's going to be in the scrum with Kevin Adams. We'll have that sound turned around for you here as soon as we can and when we can. And we're also going to have Daryl Ryder from The Fan in Cleveland join us at 11 a.m. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Stay with me right here. We'll come back. And if we hear anything from Kevin Adams in the meantime, anything that's noteworthy, we'll pass that along to you. We'll get a little bit more into the Sabres roster. I kind of want to break it down a little bit and kind of decide, you know, what they need to do. And maybe some under the radar type of moves that they could still make here that we'll see what could possibly happen and how this roster could shape up. Your calls as well. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.